Before this, Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem. Now, what that journey effectively looked like, that this was towards the end of his ministry, and now he was heading towards Jerusalem. And as we know, that is where he'd be captured and then eventually crucified. So Jesus at this point in time was quite a popular figure throughout the land that they were in. He was well known. He'd performed many miracles. He'd cast out demons. He'd raised people from the dead. And people had witnessed him do these things. So Jesus had quite a popular name. So as Jesus came into what the Bible records here as a certain village, and then a certain woman by the name of Martha received him in, Jesus had a pretty big status. Jesus wasn't just a random guy walking in. It wasn't like Jesus was at the start of his ministry and not many people knew about him. He was quite a prominent figure. People knew him to be doing miracles and great things. So look, in the same way that if we had someone that was quite well known within our area or quite a prominent figure in our area, if we had them into our house, what would we want to do? We'd want to host them. We'd want to host them well. We'd want to bring out our best cutlery and our best plates. If you have fine china, you'd pull out your fine china. And look, that's something that we do at Christmas as well. We're about to do that in the next couple of days as we host some family members. But if we hosted someone who with a prominent figure, we want to host them to the best of our ability. So this is what we see happen here is Jesus being a popular figure at the time, and obviously many people knew him as Lord. There were some people and there was disciples who knew him as Lord. Some other people just saw him as a prophet. Some other people just saw him as a dude that did miracles. Obviously, we see that later on in the book of Luke that people called him a false prophet and then he was crucified for that. But what we see here is that he was a prominent figure. And Martha brought him into her house and wanted to host him well. So what we see over the next couple of verses is an interaction between Martha, Jesus, and then also there's a lady by the name of Mary involved. We see in verse 39, we'll quickly go through the passage and we'll read verse 39, and she had a sister. So Martha had a sister who was called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, right? So Martha, what Martha was doing, she was out amongst the house, she was making everything and preparing everything to be able to serve Jesus, right? In the same way that if we hosted someone that was important, or hosted anyone for that matter, we'd want to make them feel welcome. We'd bring them into our house, we'd offer them a drink, we would do the things to attend to their needs. Now Martha was busy going around doing these things while Mary was sitting next to Jesus, just talking to him. The Bible goes on to say in verse 30, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Right? So we can sort of see now what's happening. That Martha is starting to build a bit of a resentment to Mary because Mary was sitting there just talking to Jesus. They were talking back and forth. The Bible records that Mary was listening to Jesus. So that was happening. But in Martha's eyes, she's doing all this over here, preparing everything, while Mary's sitting over there doing nothing to serve, but she's just listening and fellowshipping with Jesus. Now, the word that the Bible uses to describe what Martha was doing is, look at verse 40 with me. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, when you have a look at that word cumbered in the Greek, what that translates to and means is that Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted from what was happening. So Martha was distracted with her serving. She wasn't attentive and wasn't involved in what was happening with Jesus. She wasn't involved what was happening over here with Mary and Jesus. Now, look, when we host people, there's sort of two different things that could happen, right? If we're ready for people to come in, we can bring people into our house and we can be ready. The food can be ready. We sit down, we have dinner together. All the preparation was done beforehand. But sometimes life isn't like that, right? If you're having someone over for dinner on a Tuesday afternoon, quite often you're not prepared. And you've got to be doing things while people are there. Now, what was happening here, and because Martha was cumbered, she was separated. She was distracted from what was happening with Jesus. So it's not like that Martha was in and around and doing things, preparing things while fellowshipping. No, no, no. Martha was completely separated. She put a priority on serving and doing these things and getting the things of the house right and serving Jesus above sitting there and listening to him. Or at least, while she was doing those things, engaging in hosting or engaging in fellowshipping with her guest. So Martha, she comes up to Jesus and she asks this question and says, "Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." So Martha's perspective on this is that, look, Jesus, don't you have a problem with my sister just sitting there doing nothing? Can't you see that all I'm doing, I'm preparing all of this and I'm serving and I'm doing all these things for you, Jesus, while Mary just sits there and just talks to you? So effectively, what's happened here is Martha has had these preconceived ideas. The Bible doesn't go into great detail around what specifically Martha was doing or what was happening, but what the Bible does record is that she was cumbered in much serving. So she had this preconceived idea of what she ought to be doing, and she was distracted in doing these things rather than spending time with Jesus. She'd put these things, the serving, as a priority over fellowshipping with Jesus. Now let's have a look at Jesus' response. Verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Right? So Jesus' response to that isn't, you know, okay, Mary, up you go. Yep, I can see that. Martha's doing everything. You should go help her out. No, Jesus' response is, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So he recognizes that she's stressed, she's worried about the serving, and she's worried about those things. But then he goes on to say that there is one thing that is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And that good part was sitting there, spending time, fellowshipping with Jesus. Jesus wasn't concerned about the things that Martha was doing and all the things that Martha was doing to prepare. Because, you know, at this time in Bible history, if someone like such as a rabbi, which would be the equivalent, Jesus was a spiritual leader, he was well and truly above any rabbi. However, if a rabbi was to come over to your house, you would treat him very well. You'd put on this great spectacle. So there was a cultural expectation there, right? But Jesus was more concerned about having one-on-one fellowship with Mary and Martha than he was all of those things. He was more concerned about having that connection and that fellowship with them over being treated like a royal king and given the luxuries of what Martha was able to provide. Jesus was more concerned about spending time with them, with talking to them. So effectively, that's how the story ends. The Bible doesn't give a lot of detail about how this story goes. But one of the things that we can see in this story, and I have three points I'd like to quickly go through that we can take from this. But we can see from this the overarching theme is that Jesus, he wants our attention more than he wants our service. Jesus wants our attention more than he wants our service. And hey, look, one of the things that we can, as Christians, and especially those who come on a Wednesday night, we're usually the ones who get in and the first ones that put their hand up and say, yep, I'll do it. But I don't know about you personally, but I know that me personally, sometimes I can get myself that busy that I don't even have the time I don't believe I have the time to be spending time with the Lord, and I can get caught in that trap. I can get caught in the trap of doing all these things, running around like Martha has. All these things are good things. None of these things are bad things, but the things are not as important, or the priority is not as important. Whereas what Jesus wants is he wanted Martha's attention. He wanted Martha's time. And we can be like that as well. So Jesus, he cares more about our attention than he does our service. You know, over these next few weeks, as we're going about Christmas and doing all the festive things, you know, a lot of us will be on holidays and our schedules will be different. So it's not like we wake up one day and we have the routine like we normally do, that our days will be different. So what Jesus wants, he wants us to be serving, he wants us to put others first, he wants us to do all those things, and doing all those things glorifies him. But above that, he wants our attention. He wants us to be like Mary, who sits there and listens to him. He wants us to be like Mary, who sits there and devotes time with him. You know, I was actually thinking, and we were just talking about our Christmas day and what that's going to look like in next week. I believe it's on Thursday, Wednesday, whenever it is. And we're talking about the logistics and how we're going to do it. And our Christmas day is going to be a pretty hectic day. Obviously, we have church in the morning. We're going to get up. We'll hopefully do some presents. Maybe, maybe not. We'll come to church. And then we've got to race down south to do do Christmas with Rod and Kerry. And then I was thinking about all this. And Chloe and I were talking. And I started to feel a little bit... a little bit convicted that our priorities, or my priorities rather, are slightly out. That we're more focused on the festivities of the day and making sure that goes all well, rather than spending some time and reflecting about the meaning of Christmas. Right? How sad would it be if we just went through the whole Christmas day, right? Christmas is meant to be, you know, one of the days on the Christian calendar where we think about Christ the most. It's reflecting and celebrating his birth, right? But quite often we get caught into the trap where we just get so busy throughout the day, whether that be serving in ministry, then serving our family and friends around the lunch table, that we quite often forget to spend some time reflecting and thinking and spending time with Christ. And that's one of the things that I was challenged with when we were looking at our day. And one of the things that which struck me is that when we were talking about, you know, just the logistics of it, we'd have to race off straight after church finished. And, excuse me. And really, if that's our motive, that we're going to have to race off straight after church finishes just to get to our next appointment, my priorities might be wrong. And maybe that we need to have a look at this and reflect what Christ wants our priorities to be, rather than just meeting our next appointment and getting to our next thing, and rather assess where our heart should be, and that we should be striving to be close to Christ like Mary was, and not racing around stressed like Martha was, trying to get everything right for the day. The second point that we'd like to pull out of this is that the correct motive to serve. And Jesus, so if you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, "Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So quite often, when not just on the Christmas season, but when we're serving God in many shapes or form, we can fall into the trap of wanting to do things well, just to do things well, right? Now, the motive as to why we ought to be doing things well and serving well in our ministries, is what this verse says here is to do it all for the glory of God, or do it all to the glory of God. Now, quite often in various ministries that we can get ourselves involved in, quite often we can prioritize doing that above doing it for God's glory. What I mean by that is sometimes we want to do things in such a way so that we're seen as elevated and we're seen to be doing that well, and what effectively that does is that brings glory to ourselves, right? Because sometimes we like accolades as people, and we can do things in the name of Christ, but we do it with the motive to be seen to be doing it well. Now, the Bible doesn't say this in Luke chapter 10, but it wouldn't surprise me if Martha's heart in doing what she was doing was that so that she would be seen as a good host. The Bible doesn't say that. However, it wouldn't surprise me if she was doing and stressing and running around doing these things was so that she would be seen as a good host. And look, that would be a human tendency. We can do that from time to time in our ministries, and we can do things and fall into the wrong motive. But really, as the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 10, that whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do, we need to be doing it all for the glory of God. And that leads to the final point, which is we ought to be having the correct priority when serving. You know, Martha, what she was doing in preparing and serving and whatever she was doing, the Bible doesn't give the details. It wasn't necessarily wrong, but in that point in time and in that motive, her priority was on this where it should have been on this. So her priority or her what she thought was important was wrong in that time. What was important in that time was Christ, Jesus, God was sitting in her house, and she was more interested in making sure everything else was right. She was more driven to make sure that Jesus was served than she was to spend time with Jesus. So the third point that comes from this is that making sure our priorities are right. There's a time and a place for everything. There was a time to be preparing all this, right? We don't know if Martha had time or if she pulled Jesus off the street. We don't know any of this. However, Jesus came in is how Jesus wanted to have fellowship with. He didn't care what the state the house was in. He wanted to fellowship with Mary and Martha. So look, as we go into the next couple of weeks and even into next year, we've got to assess where our heart is. We've got to assess if our heart was and is where Martha's is. In that we're so concerned about getting everything right and doing everything right over Christmas or doing everything right in our ministries that we forget what's truly important. You know, over Christmas, one of the things that, you know, I don't know if this happens in any of your families, but I've seen it happen in my family in times past, is that if things aren't done according to how you know, some people expect it to be done, it causes division. And it causes, it doesn't create unity. But what effectively happens is once all the Christmas is over, we don't think about all the little details on the Christmas table. We think about the people who are around it and the time that we spent there with the people, right? And in the same way that when Mary and Martha are in this situation, what Jesus says at the end of, let's turn back there, Luke chapter 10, we'll just read verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, notice this point, which shall not be taken away from her. So the time that she spent with Christ in that, she's never losing that. You know, we know from here that Christ goes on to Jerusalem and then he eventually obviously gets captured and then crucified on the cross. Mary, the time that Mary spent with Jesus, she's never losing that. She's never going to forget that. But the things that Martha was worrying about, Martha won't be thinking about in time to come. So as we go into Christmas this year, let's remember, one, who we're serving. Let's remember Christ. Let's remember to think on him. Let's remember to think on the reason why we're celebrating Christmas. Think on the ways that he came into the world. Think about what he did while he was here and think about the reason why he came is obviously to die. And secondly, when we're going about Christmas, let's remember who we're celebrating Christmas with. The people around the Christmas table. Look, if you're spending Christmas Day with someone, it means that and you're in the same room with them, it means that you're one of the most important people in their lives. Right? So let's put a priority on the people. Because Christ wants us to love people. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. Christ wants us to love other people. So let's put a priority on that rather than stressing about the little things and the little expectations on how we want the day to run. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege it is that we've been able to open up your word. Father, I ask as we go into these next couple of weeks and even into next year that you may help us to have a heart and a mind to serve in the right way. Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, help us to remember you. Help us to remember the sacrifice that you came and lived through. And I ask that you may help us to remember the way that you came to this world and we just have a great time of remembrance on Christmas Day. Father, I thank you for all that you give to us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.